Listening Dog Media.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Hot Mess Mum. The mum most likely to send her kids to school in regular clothes on non-school uniform day. The mum who forgets to sign the permission slip for school trips. The mum who has probably put leftovers in her kids' lunchbox on more than one occasion. But most importantly, the Hot Mess Mum is actually rocking it and is doing a far better job than even she thinks. Please welcome our Hot Mess Mums, telling it as it is, Kelly and Jenny Powell.
It is the Hot Mess Mums Club podcast. I'm Kelly Pegg.
And I'm Jenny Powell. And I am absolutely delighted to have with us on our podcast today, Michelle Griffith Robinson. And I have to say it like that because Michelle's in Wales.
Black Friday is just around the corner and Swan have some incredible deals already on their website.
You can kit out your home for less this month with site-wide discounts at swanbrand.co.uk, including some products available with 40% off.
Use the code BLACKSWAN22 on their website and get 22% off site-wide.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan.
I'm not actually in Wales, I just bought a house in Wales.
Oh yeah, your cottage is in Wales.
Jenny, get it right. I bought a farmhouse.
Oh, a farmhouse, not a cottage. Sorry.
She's building big. My farmhouse. It's my dream home.
It looks gorgeous.
Lovely.
It's got beans and everything.
Oh, fab.
Do you know
what?
You
got chickens?
Really nice. Not yet.
You're not at the chicken stage. You're going to get all that.
Allegedly, they say so, but which black families you know with chickens? Come on now, apart from the Caribbean. Come on, let's keep it real.
Listen, I'm South African. Any animals we used to have, used to eat them. That was it. You couldn't have anything running around the house. It was like, no, we're African. We eat everything.
We're going to eat everything.
Yeah, it's so true. I will as well. It's survival, you know.
Survival of the fittest is what we say.
Well, talking of survival of the fittest, you are. Just in case people don't know, Diabetes UK, Women's Aid, the menopause charity, Mena Charity, triple jumper for Great Britain, Olympian in Atlanta, and the black girl from Wembley who did good. She did good. Change the mold.
So, do you know what? It's when you say it like that, Jenny. Actually, in all seriousness, I often say to people to dream big. As a life coach myself and a mentor, I do a lot of life coaching and mentoring and public speaking along the way. And I say to people, you know, you have to have a dream. And sometimes people rubbish you and say, you can't do that. And actually, I'm very proud of myself. I was 50 last month, and bear in mind, I'm going to celebrate that for the whole year. So don't worry about it if you missed it. I'm going to be celebrating.
Oh, yeah. 50th. Oh, without a doubt. I'm coming somewhere.
100%. We've got to come somewhere, Jen. We've got to make it happen. I often say to people that, you know, you have to start with a dream and a vision in order to know where you're going. And then you have to understand what the roots you've come from to celebrate your success.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's one of the things I'm really big on, you know, recognize where you come from and celebrate the journey and actually appreciate the process, because it's not bloody easy in life. It's not easy, guys.
No, it's not.
You've obviously sacrificed quite a lot, particularly when you were sort of being an Olympian and a triple jumper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think that sportswomen, sportsmen have a mentality that the rest of us sort of normal kind of not Olympians, non-Olympians, we just don't have it. You know, we see it all the time. When you look back at those sacrifices and the stuff that you sort of had to put on hold and the things you had to do, do you still think it was worth it all at the time? And you know, and what kind of sacrifices did you make?
Yeah, so there's two prongs to that statement, really. Yes, Kelly, in fact, I did sacrifice a lot, but sacrifice sounds like you really didn't want to do it. So that's why I'm very cautious with the word, you know, the last few years, really. But for listeners' sake, sacrifice. Yeah, so I didn't go to a lot of parties when I was younger. You know, I had to train. I missed out on lots of Christmas dinners with families. But it was something I loved.
Yeah.
You know, and I look back on it and I wouldn't change, not one minute of the journey, I wouldn't change. I would make different, got perimenopausal brain, hold on a minute here.
Oh, join the club.
Join the club. I will make different decisions than what I made then. And I would call upon a different support system to what I had then.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change absolutely any of it. Because you know what? It's pretty cool to be able to say I went to the Olympic Games, the biggest event on earth. 24 years old, a little girl from Wembley who dared to dream.
And so the actually, first woman to jump over 14 metres, am I right?
Wow.
First woman to jump over 40 metres in the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the first woman to do that. It's about, again, you know, changing the mould, like you said earlier, Jenny, and breaking barriers and, you know, and smashing glass ceilings, shattering glass ceilings and being the first, you know. Like I said to you, there's a lot of things that I missed out on, but there's no better party than an Olympic party.
Yeah. No. How I love that.
That drive as well and that kind of steely attitude, that mental steely attitude, that is something I think that, you know, people like you have naturally, and it must stay with you afterwards, obviously, because you're still achieving so much. So it's that drive. I think it's infectious for other women and all the people around you as well. You know, that I can attitude, not I can't, I can. You know, it's something that we want to install in our kids all the time, isn't it, as well? But
absolutely. And I do believe that I come from my can do attitude. I can do that. It might take me longer to do that, but I do come from that background. My mum, you know, came over here at 20 years old, you know, a young girl from Jamaica coming into a country that where nobody resembled her, you know, and looking at my mum, what she achieved, you know, she ended up with 2 degrees, a social policy degree. She worked for NHS for 47 years. She finished her career as a social work manager in an autistic unit. And actually having that role model as well to look up to and think, bloody hell, if my mum can do that, where, you know, she faced a lot of racism, a lot of discrimination, you know, then why can't I, who's been given, again, a lot more opportunities than she had?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it is that can do, dig deep. And you know, I am resilient. I've been through a lot of shit, excuse my language, guys, in my life.
No, it's fine. You can say what you like. You can say any old shit on here.
Beg your pardon. I've been through so much in my life, you know, and, you know, from, you know, being elements of being in abusive relationships, which is why I joined Women's Aid, you know, to, you know, being very unhappy at times in my career, you know, and I've come out the other side, and I want my girls to look at me, and I've got a little boy who's 8 as well, but definitely my girls, who are fabulous, beautiful black girls, but who've got big, big, huge ambitions and dreams. And I want them to look at me and think, my mum will always tell me, do that. You can do that.
Yeah.
But my grandmother would tell me, why can't you do that? Why can't you be the first?
Absolutely.
And that's the powerful message there.
Yeah, amazing. And can I just say, Kelly, the how we met, I've got to say this, right, because I don't think I've told you, but I was in a hotel working in London, and I went downstairs to have breakfast, and I was with Martin, and I kept looking, Martin, what are you staring at? And I said, there's a couple of women over there having breakfast, I said, and that, they're just beautiful. I said, they just emulate this energy. I said, and they are absolutely beautiful souls. And I said, I'm going to have to go over. I said, because I just feel I need to go over and tell them. And I said, and also because I think I'm really weird. So I actually, I didn't recognize Michelle because obviously my eyesight's terrible and I'm just clueless. So it wasn't about that. I approached Michelle and her mum because I had to, because I couldn't stop staring at them. And I could just feel this energy. And I went, excuse me, I'm really sorry, but I just think Mum's bloody gorgeous. She's just a beautiful woman.
And it made my day, Jenny, you know. And again, you know, we try not to digress of what we're here to talk about, but just that kindness of that message of that day. You know, my mum's recovering 2 years in November from having a full gastrectomy and is very conscious of her weight. She's very, very thin. She's a lot more fragile now. She's older now, you know, the same things that come with it, but still that positive mindset. So Jenny coming over and just saying that, it was just almost like the timing of it was just so apt, Jen.
Yeah, do you not believe in those things, though? It was meant to be like that. And now I've seen you a few times.
Now you're hooked, babe. I ain't getting rid of you now, babe. That's it.
Do you know what? And I'm delighted because I tell you what, you know, I try my best to be positive and, you know, like aspirational for people, etc. But you have got something, Michelle, and you just light up a room and you bring such an energy and a positivity on those days when I think sometimes if I could just put you in a locket.
Oh, baby, no.
Whatever you're made up of and just keep it there and just have to open it up every now and again, I would be a happy lady. That's what you do for people, you know, and you will get that from your mum, but you know, it's also from you. There's a little bit of magic, you know.
Thank you.
And I think what you're doing now and the connections you have with all your charities and all the work you do, you know, you are in the right place. And you certainly humble me. And when I look at you, I think, yeah, a mum like that, pretty decent. Pretty decent. Oh,
you know, we know this whole mum thing is very hard at times. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm not going to pretend because there's times when I drop the ball. You know, yesterday, prime example, my son, you know, got him ready for his, he had a rugby match yesterday and I was like, right, Lige, you've got to take a bit of ownership here, da, da, da. And I go into the front room to have a little nap because this perimenopause makes you a bit tired. I go in there to have a little 10-minute sleep.
Yeah.
Hands up, girls, if you're doing this. Hands up.
Whoa, whoa.
Anybody over 45? Woo-hoo. So I went and have my little 10-minute lie down. And I thought, here's his cornet. Oh, bloody hell, he forgot his cornet.
Yeah.
He forgot. And I was like, okay, so I'm frustrated because actually I'm paying. This the second time he's done that. And actually it's a waste of bloody money. I could be buying some clothes or shoes with that money. But I thought to myself, actually, Mish, I've dropped the ball a bit there. And then I thought, well, actually, have I dropped the ball? And I said, well, actually, we've dropped the ball there. So I, when he came home yesterday from school, I said, Lige, well done about your rugby match, blah, 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 blah. How did you feel? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, but Lige, you forgot your cornet.
Mm.
He said, yes, mommy. I said, Lige, we need to change this up, babe.
Mm.
You know, so taking a bit of ownership. He's 8 years old. He's little still.
Mm.
But at the same time, I've got to allow him to grow by giving him that responsibility as well.
Absolutely.
And not beat myself up.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. My daughter's 8 as well. So same stage as you. Yeah. And she's very independent, but the same thing. Sometimes I have to stop and think, hang on a minute. She's got to do this. I'm going to say to her, this is you. You need to go and do that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and you need to help pack your own lunch up. And you need to, because they get so used to everything you do for them. And then when you stop or when you drop the ball, because we're exhausted, we carry this massive guilt.
I know, exactly. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, he's the third child, so, you know, like, lied. Shit, baby, feel sorry for your son. But it's definitely a case of we do have to, and he's surrounded by two big sisters. My daughter's, one's 18 and one's nearly 15, and he's 8. So there's a big age gap, and they're very, very loved and henpecked, my husband says.
Mm.
So we do have to actually almost encourage that. But at the same time, again, allowing that mum guilt to last 10 seconds and next move on.
Yeah.
You've got
I'm
to.
Really bad. Really, really bad. I do everything. I mean, Connie's 20, nearly 21, and don't do anything. Oh, don't do anything. Nothing.
Does she not?
I do it all.
But she's at uni now, so how are you going to do that? How are you doing that?
Well, when she, everything's a tit when she comes home. It's a nightmare.
But she's looking after herself. There,
yeah,
so she's
she is. So that's okay. But with Polly, who's 12, nearly 13, I actually had to take myself into a corner last night because I'm working loads at the moment and I've got responsibility to my mum, which is a new thing because my dad's passed away. So I'm finding that quite difficult, actually.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. I've got to work that out with the guilt. But also I thought, oh, Polly, you're great, but you don't do anything. I take a breakfast up to her bedroom. Running up and down.
Yeah, no, Jen, me and you need to have a serious thought, babe. No, Jen. After this conversation, listeners, after this, me and Jen having a proper talk. And I tell you why. I'm going to tell you this. I'm very much a hands-on mommy.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, Kelly, I'll be there cooking my kids pancakes. I'll be making them this, that. My son comes, mommy, can you make me some curry chicken and rice? And I'm like, yeah, if I've got it, I'll make it for him. But
never get out of the kitchen when they're home at tea time. It's a bloody nightmare.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. So I'm like, but Jen, it comes a point, babe, where you've got, and I tell you why you have to, because you're not going to be there forever.
Mm.
And you've got to set the parameters and the boundaries. This is my coaching coming out.
Yeah.
You've got to set the boundaries and parameters so they can fend for themselves.
Yeah.
Situations change, don't they? I mean, I think that. I mean, I'm at home. I'm very lucky. You know, I work this, my podcast and my business is all ran from home now. So I'm lucky and I'm not, because I miss going out and doing things. But I can drop them off at school. I pick them up. I am there all the time. But I often say to Ava, like when she'll leave all her breakfast pots on the table and not, whereas my son is four, puts everything in the dishwasher. Oh, go God figure that. That's his nursery that taught him that, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Amazing. But I'll say to her, what happens if my working situation changed in a year and I was out every morning? What are you going to do? You have to listen to me. You've got to. And it's so hard, isn't it?
It is.
It's that balance again.
Yeah, it is. And I think also when I've been, you know, working for so long, but away a lot, what happens is I overcompensate when I come back.
See? Yeah, and you recognise it though, baby.
Yeah. That's it. There's a lot. If you can't see us, there's lots of pointy fingers going on. She's like,
exactly. Can't see us going. But you remember. The great thing is, you know, and this is again coming through through the lens of a life coach here. The fact acceptance that's what you do, and who am I to tell you not to do it? I'm just saying to you to help your daughter in the future.
Yeah,
it might be something that you start putting in place from now, because 15, 16, she's not going to always want you there. Number one. And you're not always going to be able to be there. Number two. So, and also, you know, you mentioned about the, you know, looking after your mum now. That's the same thing with me. My stepdad died in January of COVID. And then my biological father, who I was very close to, died in June, end of June. So actually, I had a laugh with my mum the other day. I said, Mum, I'm not bloody going near you. Two men you've been with bloody dropped down dead. I'm not having one. But it is that same generation of looking after my mum.
Yeah.
Plus having a younger family as well and having myself. And that's what I can imagine. I struggle with it, Jenny.
Yeah. And being perimenopausal as well.
Oh, my God, geez. You know, adding all these ingredients.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, I don't know how Matthew gets a look in, your lovely, gorgeous husband.
Gorgeous. My husband's bloody gorgeous.
Isn't he? I was like, hello.
He's fit.
He's so fit. I bet you can't keep your hands off him.
No, well,
perimenopausal, of course you can.
He's got Jenny, I can. He's got 17 days. He laughs at me. I said, Matt, we've got your 17-day window where we can have, you know, some good fruity sex.
Fruity.
After that, babe.
Not just sex, fruity. Gosh, you're raising the bar here.
And we've got 11 days.
Yeah.
Wait, don't even come near me. I'll smash your face in.
Yeah. But you are very considerate with him.
I feel like that a lot, and I'm not even perimenopausal. So what does that say?
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan.
It's almost Black Friday and Swan have savings on their website from the 15th of November.
This month it costs you less to give your home a facelift before you get all your Christmas visitors.
Now is the perfect time to check out their stunning ranges, including their retro range, stealth range and gorgeous Gatsby collection. You can get 22% off site-wide and some products are even available at 40% off.
Make sure you check out their website and use the code BLACKSWAN22 to get 22% off site-wide.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan, celebrating 90 years of magic moments.
Mish, I love the fact you bought him a book.
Listen to me. I had to, because it was getting a bit of like, you know, little snidey remark. Oh, I want it. I'm not getting enough now, am I? I'm like, babe, do you know what? You need to stop. Listen, you need to educate what's going on here. And funny enough, we have a laugh about it now and we talk about it. But I've noticed though, you know, and Matt is fantastic, and I'm very fortunate. Yeah. I've been with Matt 19 years now.
Wow.
We're very blessed. 19 years, three beautiful children. We have a very, very nice marriage. We argue every now and again. Sometimes I can't stand him, gets on my freaking nerves. Mm-hmm. But I love him dearly, and he's a very good man.
Yeah.
And I'm putting that out there because he is a very good man. And I want to really celebrate the fact that I'm married to a very exceptionally brilliant black man. Mm-hmm. Who has got dreams and aspirations to be a headmaster in an independent school. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an amazing role model for black boys.
Yeah.
And black boys are one of the boys, Caribbean boys, are a section of boys that have been left behind. Absolutely. And I want to promote Matt, who absolutely is, that is the role model there. So Elijah, having him as a dad, bloody lucked out.
Lucked out totally. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I do want to celebrate that, and I say that, you know, all the time. But also as well, it's again being transparent and authentic with your partner and recognising that, you know what, guys, I'm not feeling it, Matt. I'm just not feeling it. I would say vulnerability is strength.
Nice. Yeah. I'm going to try that. It's easier said than done, but I'll try it.
Yeah, it's okay. You've got to remember something, Jenny and Kelly, you know, when you've both been affluent women in your own right, and then all of a sudden, you know, I've been a very competent woman in my own right, and then all of these things come into it and you start feeling a little bit more vulnerable and insecure about different bits and pieces. That acceptance is hard to accept.
Yeah.
But when you do accept that, you know what, guys, you know, I dropped the ball. I'm feeling like shit. I'm feeling quite vulnerable. And I specifically felt very vulnerable when I lost my dad and my stepdad.
Yeah.
Because looking after my mum. Mm. And just knowing that Matt was there to say, baby, it's okay. It's all right, babe. You don't have to put on this facade.
You can, you know, just be you.
Just be you, baby. Just be you.
Yeah.
Just do you and be you. And I'll be there to catch you. And that has given me even more confidence. Mm. Because you know what? I ain't got no show to put on. I don't need to be trying to pretend I'm sorry. I've got saggy 32F breasts that fall to the floor and get the shit.
32F?
F? Yeah.
They're big then.
Yeah. Huge, baby.
A, B, C, D, E, D, D, E. Yeah. That is. That's big.
I don't even know what mine are. I just wear a nice sweaty Betty sports bra and I don't even bother getting them measured. I hate bras, so I don't bother anymore.
You know, my daughter sees bras as well. But no, I'm big on bras because I've always had very big busts. In fact, they're smaller now. They're not as saggy as they were, actually, funny enough. But
is that because you're working out? You could sort of...
No, they've just
changed shape.
They're just not as saggy. They're still saggy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, you know, semi-saggy. You know,
Semi-sags.
They change after kids, don't they? They become semi-sag after the first child, I think.
Mine certainly did.
I was like, why are they pointing downwards? What the hell?
But Kelly, do you know what my son said to me? Mommy, your breasts are like Dumbo ears. I was like, thanks, life. My breasts are bugs, you little shit.
Well, mine's four and he just pinches them all the time. He'll crawl into bed and he's like, mummy's boobies. Mummy's boobies. And my husband thinks it's great. He's like, oh, he's my son. That's just...
Yeah, of course he does.
You know.
I can't comment on this because I've got false ones and they've been in there for about 15 years. So I don't even know.
I was thinking about getting them lifted and stuff and I thought,
oh, it's just admin.
It's, you know, I thought about getting them all lifted up and stuff. But do you know what? No, I'm comfortable with who I am.
Yeah, right, you are. Now. I'd never have guessed. Well, actually, I definitely would have guessed. And do you know what? I love the setup. Could you just describe to us the whole sort of setup, where you live? I mean, obviously, I've seen on Reese's 18th that you got the keys for your lovely farmhouse in Devon.
Meanwhile, in the back. So we've been in, Matthew, a quick story here, because I know we haven't got much time. So quick story here. In 2009, Matthew lost his mum, his sister and his aunt.
Oh, goodness.
His mum died of cancer, his sister died of cancer and his aunt died of a heart attack. So in 1 year and 8 days, he lost the three prominent women that he was very, very close to.
Yeah.
He was a leading strength conditioning coach in sports science for the English Institute of Sport. So he worked with one of his more famous athletes, Dame Catherine Granger, the rower. That was his athlete that he helped get her silver medal and gold medal. So Matt was in that for many, many years. That's what he did, science, sports science. He gave it all up and started as a PE teacher.
Wow.
He said, I'm done. I want to give back to kids. So I was like, what do you mean? He said, yeah, that's it. So I'm letting you know now, he dropped from £68,000 to £25,327.
Wow.
I was like, how the hell are we going to live on that? What the hell? That ain't cutting nothing.
Nah.
And he said, Mish, just bear with me for 3 years. And then he went into boarding. And we now live in a boarding. We've been in boarding 12 years nearly. We live in a boarding school in North Devon. And my children go to school here. Very beautiful school with 90 acres of land, which really helped in lockdown in terms of well-being.
Yeah.
And the greenery and just being outside. We're a very outdoorsy family. We've got an Instagram page called A Fit Family Robinsons.
Oh, you know, I'm going to look that up. Fit Family Robinson.
Yeah, which we're very outdoors. That's what we do. And actually, so we're very fortunate that we live on site.
Yeah.
So the kids go to school here. So everything's a lot more easier. So although we always...
You missed out on the school run there. You got out of that one, didn't you?
Proper missed out on it. We missed out on the school run.
You do not realise what a bonus that is to your life.
It's huge.
No wonder you're smiling. No wonder you exude this happiness and energy constantly. It's because you're not that person in the four-wheel drive stuck in traffic.
I'm definitely not that person. I'm in my trainers and walking Elijah to school every now and again.
Oh, how wonderful. And the girls, so Reese being 18, I mean, yeah. And Eden, of course, having this amazing role model of a mum. And you say to me that, you know, they're very focused and that, you know, they can achieve. That obviously is all down to you. Do you think there is that little essence of something that, you know, is not nurture and that, you know, it's come from somewhere else?
We set out the foundation very early on.
Okay.
You know, in terms of expectations and what we wanted. We recognised that very early on, both myself and Matthew. Matthew was privileged enough to go to, and I say privileged, to go to an independent school on a scholarship. So he had that exposure already, so really wanted that for our children. I went to a normal state school called Preston Manor in Wembley, did very well there, from there. And like I said, it's that innate drivenness that you've got to have.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go and say you come from this, oh, poor me. No, you've got to have that absolute drive. Yeah. We all read stories of people that come from absolutely nothing and end up literally blowing away the world with how brilliant they with their excellence and their brilliance. So yes, my girls have been exposed to that. I'm going to give you that. Mm-hmm. But we've also managed them and said, listen, guys, if you want something, you've got to work hard. And whether we like it or not, black people have to work 10 times harder than their white counterparts.
Right, right.
And that's what I thought. My mum told me that as a kid. I don't say it so much to Reese and Eden, to be honest with you. I haven't had to really have that conversation as much as my mum said it to me. But naturally, I've just said, you've got to work hard. If you've got an ability, you go with it, girls. Whether it's dance, drama, music, whatever it might be, we're not expecting everybody to be A-star students. Yeah, we're not expecting everybody to be Olympians or even be representing your county. But what we are expecting in this household is try your bloody best.
Yeah.
Because if you can try your best every day of the week, you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I did my best. Mm. Yeah. And that's the mirror on the wall speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that is the, so true. That's where you find your happy place, I think, as well. When you get that feeling of, you know what, oh gosh, it was tough at sometimes, but I really just pulled it out the bag. And now, wow.
Absolutely.
You know, it's your happy place, isn't it? Which I bet you found in your training in a way as well.
Jenny. I found that in my training. You know, that was my solitude when I was going through, coming from like a quite a volatile background. Training was a place, was my happy place.
Yeah.
And even now that brings me the excitement and the smile inside of me, you know, of, you know, three times a week I was at a track. And when we talk about diversity and inclusion and everything else, I was at a track in Wembley where you had white, black, Asian, you know, all different colours, all different socio-economical backgrounds.
Yeah.
And the one thing they were there for was to do sport, a sport that they loved.
Mm.
And, you know, that's one thing that I'm really proud about, that my sport didn't discriminate, doesn't discriminate. If you're good enough, you're good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an objective sport. And that's why I love track and field, for that reason, that purpose. You know,
well, I just like to say, Michelle, I did do a long jump and I did break the record for the boys and girls at in Ilford. Yeah, yeah. And 100 metres as well, beat the record for the boys and the girls.
Jean,
yeah. It is, isn't it? It is. Sorry about that, Kelly, but, you know, probably is.
I can't remember that far back and I'm younger than you, but I can't even. I was a swimmer. I loved swimming. That was my thing, you know. I mean,
Reese does swimming, doesn't she? Yeah,
they do it because they've got to do that school. Okay. They're not good at it.
No.
It's a tough sport swimming, you know, Kelly.
I know. Well, I went yesterday. I chaperoned my daughter's class. I go and help out. And I wasn't put in her class. I was put in the top one. And one of her peers, who's a year older than her, is just amazing. Yeah. And I was watching her yesterday and my mouth was just open and the coach just went, she's good, right? And I went, good. I went, this girl is... Yeah. And she took my breath away. I could have watched her all day.
See, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Well, she does a club. I said, do you... She said, I'm a rep for club twice a week and then I do this. And I was thinking, you need to... Yeah, you should be swimming with your county. I mean, and when you see that, and she just made it look so easy, I felt so sorry for all the others because they were like,
wow. But you see, the thing about it is a child like that who's got that natural talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be explored. So, you know, you keep her in the sport. You know, one of the things that I really push all the time is we want every child to be able to do sport.
Yeah.
Mm. It doesn't matter what level, you know, from grassroots levels, you want them to be participating and be active. you know, because we know the benefits it has on your well-being. As a personal trainer for 22 years and always done sport, that's probably why my glass is always spilling over. Mm. Because I feel good about myself because I do sport, I keep my energy up, my endorphins are up.
Yeah.
And so that's wise. But a girl like that who's got that talent, we need that to be nurtured so that that girl can really fulfill her true potential.
Yeah, and it's lovely to see, isn't it? You know, like for me, I used to swim 3 or 4 times a week, and I swam for my county for a very small amount of time before I just went off the rails. But, you know,
I
looked at her and was just like, whoa. And it really was something special, which I think is lovely. But I'm with you, Michelle, on, yes, I think we need to get every child in it, whether they're good at it or not, but just get them to enjoy it. I always say that to my daughter, you know, and she kind of picks sports for her after school clubs, which I love. Yeah. And she's not really a natural athlete. I don't think she's ever going to be in that field. But
absolutely want them to be participating because we know that.
Feel good.
It's going to a dance club. You know, a feel-good factor, you know, with dancing, you know. My daughters both play clarinet and listen to them sometimes. It makes me well up because actually they're not going to bloody go to the Royal School of Music, but they're bloody good. They're grade 8 and grade 7.
Yeah.
But this is about, they're doing another thing of making them feel good about themselves. All about the confidence building.
Yeah, Jenny's daughter's just started football and she's smashing it. It came...
Smashing it, yeah. And she goes to all girls' school she goes to. No one in the family. My ex-husband, he's not into football. She's got two, you know, half-brothers. They're not into football. No one in this house. And one day she asked me to get a football. She started kicking it around in the backyard. I haven't got a garden. No. Starts doing tricks with it. And then said, can I join the, you know, the local girls' football team? And now she plays for the county. Amazing. Within 6 weeks.
I love that.
Yeah,
you see, and that again, that what that does for that individual, which is what I see working in school and being a coach and a life coach and a mentor, what I see is the child's confidence grows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's something that they own themselves.
Yeah, and it was her idea. You know, it's not like you're coerced into doing it at all.
It's her idea.
And I was like, what? I said, what? What do you want on football? And you know, it's been an eye opener for me, actually, quite an education
that
if I want it, I'm going to do it. And you know,
again, that message is very simple, though, isn't it? Mm. If you want to do something, go and do
go
it.
Go and do it.
We can't have the fear of failure paralysing our young people to do what they want to
do. And you know, there's a lot of that in the air in so many ways because sometimes you do think, you know, the world's against you, you know, and the messages that are put out are quite negative, you know, especially recently when, you know, you have had that feeling that, you know, you're locked down, you're locked in, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, everything's being controlled in a certain way. Yeah. So you feel like you haven't got your freedom and it closes in on you in the end. And I do worry about the fact that, you know, young people have, you know, almost been this condition now where, we can't really do that.
It's been very hard for them. And I think it's our role, you know, as well as looking after ourselves, mums, you know, we've got to look after ourselves. You know, it's very important. And one of the things I say, and I got a cup made for one of my birthdays, saying you can't give from an empty cup. And I absolutely love that. And I often use the analogy of, you know, you've got to put your own oxygen mask on yourself before you can give to everybody else.
Yeah. So what does Mish do for herself? Because I know you're all, you know, but what do you do? What do you do? Happy time and your chill time and your...
You know, my happy time, if I'm being really honest with you, and this was even more cemented in lockdown, sitting around the table with my husband and my 3 kids and just chilling and just appreciating. I'm very, very... I show a lot of gratitude. I'm very grateful for what I've achieved and what I have, not necessarily achieved, but what I have at my disposal. I'm very blessed. So I do that. I journal a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I write down, I write a lot of, you know, I write every day, I write down a quote of how I'm feeling.
Wow.
And I do take self-care. So I do a Pilates session where somebody coaches me rather than me personal training somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Debbie West Pilates in Barnstable and she, you know, Debbie does a Pilates session with me. I also get my manicure, pedicure, facials. I take care of me.
Yeah, and it's so important. I put a poll on our Instagram page on Monday and said, what's the one thing you're going to do for you today, mums? You know, are you going to do that one thing? Are you going to get that in? Yeah. And more on the poll, more people said that they wouldn't be able to get anything in for themselves. I thought that was really sad, because it takes work to fit those things in. It takes work to get your schedule, your workout in, your yoga class. It's hard. I think for some, they find it just impossible. And I felt really sad when I saw the results. I wanted it to be 100%, like, we're all doing something.
The reality is, it's not going to be. And, my heart goes out to a lot of the single mums out there, to mums, that are struggling. And dads, I know it's a conversation about mums, but dads that, are struggling as well, as single parents raising children. Yeah. It's tough out there, and my husband says to me, your life's all right, isn't it, babe? I said, so is yours. Shut up. So is yours. Because it's about facilitating, isn't
it? Yeah.
But I would say, with my life coaching hat on, my things would be, go and get what you duly deserve.
Oh, I like that. Can that be our thought, our final thought with the beautiful woman that is Michelle Griffith Robinson?
Well, we could talk to you all day. You're going to have to come back and do some more with us,
I will be back. Can we have a part two, ladies?
Yeah. Oh, Michelle, I'd love that, honestly. And if you need a hand with, decorating that farmhouse.
Oh, listen to me. I tell you what I do need. I need to plug it. Do you know what I need, ladies? Seriously.
What do you need?
I need to get this bloody documented on TV, because I've got two barns on the side.
Oh.
So if I could get it documented and someone do a TV programme with us, I would love that.
What a family. It's the family Robinson.
Fit family Robinsons, a black family moving to Wales.
Oh.
Come on. There's something out there.
Oh, man. But let me think on this one.
Think about it. Jenny and Kel, use your magic powers. But thank you very much for having me on. Oh. And just to all the mums out there, you're doing a great job, ladies. Remember, find some time for you. It's really imperative to find, even if it's a 10 minutes, to have a nap on the sofa and look at the corner that your son's left behind. Have 10 minutes for you. Find some time for you. Appreciate how brilliant you've been, because sometimes we forget, because of the hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
We've got to stop, reflect and look and say, actually, I've done bloody well this week.
You're so inspirational. You're just it's infectious.
See, I told you, Kelly. She's not bad, is she? No, not bad, this woman.
God.
And that is why... You walk into a room and you don't know someone, yet if they exude the energy and the love that Michelle does, she turns heads.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh,
love you, Michelle.
You're so special. Thank you so much.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan. Designed for life.
It's almost Black Friday, and Swan have savings on their website from the 15th of November.
Don't forget to check out their stunning range of products and save this month.
Visit their website and use the code BLACKSWAN22 to get 22% off site-wide.